Ready when.
Okay, we're recording.
Okay, thank you, Matt. Good afternoon, everyone. This is an informal hearing on case number PU-20-193, Otter Tail Power Company, deferred accounting related to COVID-19 expenses. I'm Commissioner Brian Crotchis, joined by Commissioner Julie Fedorchak and Commissioner Randy Christman. I will note it's 3:18 p.m. on Thursday, July 23rd, 2020. I don't have any opening comments. Commissioner Fedorchak?
I don't have any either. Thank you.
Commissioner Christman?
No, but just thank you, Otter Tail representatives, for being here to provide information. Mm-hmm.
This is an informal hearing involving only undisputed facts. If there are any disputed facts, we will close the informal hearing and issue a notice of hearing. The applicant, as you've listened in, goes first in this type of proceeding. But before we start, I will also introduce two staff members we have present, Brian Johnson and Victor Shook. So I'll turn it over to the company. You can introduce the people on the call, on the conference, and then you can take it from there.
My name is Pete Bython. I'm the manager of regulatory recovery for Otter Tail Power Company. And with me today is Matt Olson. He's our manager of regulatory proceedings and compliance, and Ron Spangler, who is our manager of customer care and relations. I'll ask to be able to share my screen. I've got a presentation that will skip a lot of because everything's been said. And we'll probably look forward more to questions than presentation here.
Okay, you have been made the presenter.
Okay. Can you see the presentation now?
Yes.
Okay. I'll skip the agenda. I'll skip the background, and then go right to some of the Otter Tail Power specific measures that we've taken, and most of these are very similar to what every other utility has done. Maybe of note is that while no Otter Tail employees has tested positive for COVID-19, some of the contractor crews working on our Astoria generating station have tested. And there were 17 as of last week, and I think that's was up to 26 as of yesterday. So it's a real issue that we're dealing with at Otter Tail, especially managing that project. Our tails of rear increases. We looked at the aging that created some concern, and to mitigate that, we decided we needed to reinstitute our standard operating procedures for collections and disconnections. We had been following the customers, but just not able to disconnect. And when I look at when we look at June 2020 or February 2020, which was the most recent pre-COVID month, our June North Dakota aging of 61 plus days is 70% higher than our February aging, which is a little surprising because February is always going to have higher bills with the winter months. We have a fair amount of heating load in North Dakota for our customers. We'll continue to be flexible with our customers establishing our payment plans, and I think our notices went out on July 13th. Disconnects start August 4th, and late fees are scheduled to start on August 12th again. Of that, if I look at the total accounts receivable, 30 plus, there's about 1.3 million residential customers. Are you seeing the accounts receivable slide here?
No.
Oh, okay. There we go. I'm advancing the wrong screen. I've got want to go to presentation view, it brings it up on two screens. Apologies for that.
Okay, no problem.
But out of our receivables in June, there's about 1.3 million is the residential customers, which is about 80% of all our receivables. So residential is definitely the highest proportion of that. And when I look back, we're about we're up a fair chunk, as this indicates, 16% of our June billing versus 7% of February billings.
Since you have percentages up, I'm going to ask a quick question if I can.
Sure.
Since you're talking about percentages, it's hard to get a really good handle on exactly how it looks, and there it is. Okay. The question I have, though, is the 70% higher based on what would be considered a very low number in the utility world to begin with? In other words, people doing a better job of paying their bills on time in this part of the world versus maybe another part of the world?
That I don't know. I suspect that's true, that we would have, that we get better payment on utility bills in this part of the world than some other areas that we might compare to. But I don't have any evidence of that.
All right, thank you.
Any other questions around the accounts receivable?
Are you going to go to the slide next, the spreadsheet?
That was just something that was out of my computer. It's been pretty rough.
Oh, okay. So that.
But I can talk about the numbers from that. Mm-hmm. Right. If you have questions on numbers.
Well, when we're on that general topic, were you on the call when MDU had shown the fairly straightforward spreadsheet in terms of how collections looked in 2020 versus 2019, et cetera?
Yeah.
I think, again, that's something that we've asked NSP to provide as a late filed exhibit. I would like to see that as well for yours.
Sure.
And I'm
be very easy to do, Commissioner.
Okay. And then do you have some more slides beyond this, or are we into Q&A? Okay.
Yeah, we are seeing some impact in sales. When we look at our second quarter, the months of April, May, and June versus our second quarter budget, we're seeing a slight increase in residential sales. They're up about 0.3%, and our commercial sales are down about 6.6%. Just as a kind of an indication of what's going on with our sales, there is some clearly direct effect on our commercial, which everyone should expect. We've got a separate accounting project to track our COVID-19 expenses. As we review that, we're finding that there may be some other things we should be looking at and including there. But we are working through that. The majority of our COVID-19 expenses so far really are related to costs of the power plants during the early stages of the pandemic, where we're setting some people up for sequestering and some other expenses. And the regular expenses we expect to continue. Power plant expenses, I think, will settle down unless there's something else happens with the pandemic that causes us to have to sequester again. In response to the sales reduction, we did what most utilities did and did some financial management to try and offset some of the decreases. We froze wages at 2019 levels, being implemented a hiring freeze, you know, cutting any travel absolutely necessary to serve customers, and reducing other expenses. And we've been seeing that cost center managers just overall have been holding back on some of their spending, their discretionary spending that they have. I think everybody's sensitive to what's going on with the financial side of things. Again, the summary is just that we're requesting authority for pandemic-related costs and address the cost recovery in post-pandemic rate cases. We're not asking for specific dollars at this point. Mm-hmm. And as far as a formal presentation, I'm happy to take any questions you might have about Rockdale.
Okay. Well, I'll start with a few and then we'll move around. Can you clarify on the operational expense side of the equation? You're being more frugal, but overall, is it still fair to say that expenses have risen, or are they
Yes.
holding steady? But they're higher than they'd normally be. Otherwise, we wouldn't be having this informal.
Right. Right. Well, you know, the revenues have dropped off at the same time as expenses have gone up.
You know, one slide that was unique, some unique information that we haven't seen because we wouldn't on the other two. On the Astoria gas plant, you said, did you say up to 26? I think you had
Right.
17, but verbally I think you said 26?
Correct.
Confirmed cases. How many workers are out on that job site?
Somewhere around 200, I believe, maybe not those. A better number than I do.
So that's a
250.
Okay.
50. Okay.
So right now, 10% have tested positive of that 250.
Right.
Okay. Chair Croce, one thing unique about that site, of course, is that there are workers coming from all over. Who are coming in and they may be temporary and their aspect of the job may be done and they're leaving and other workers may come. So while 250, you know, that's sort of a point in time number.
Okay.
And there may be more, you know, over the course of the project that are happy to visit the site.
Okay. No, excellent point. Thank you for that. Now, I think on Saturday, Governor Waltz has issued a mandate for wearing of masks. Will that change how you've been doing business as of late?
I don't believe there's anything that we will see any change in how we're doing our business. You know, we started to bring back some workers into the office and have held off at this point. Until we know a little more about what's happening with the latest case increases, just to be a little more prudent with it.
Mm-hmm.
We were planning to do four phases with a fourth of the employees coming in each phase, but at the moment we're going to wait a little bit and see what happens.
Okay. And then in terms of customer perception, as you start to re-implement collection procedures, is there anything that they perceive to be one way if it's not accurate, or do they understand, okay, it's time to start figuring out this utility bill again?
I think I'll turn that one over to Mr. Spangler and let him respond. He's much closer to it than I am.
Good afternoon. My name is Ron Spangler. I'm manager of customer care and relations, as was indicated earlier. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yeah, loud and clear.
So, as I think Pete mentioned, on July 13th, we began to send notice of proposed disconnections. At that time, in terms of the call center group that is part of the customer care and relations group, we did definitely start to see an increase in calls from customers. And one of the things, obviously, that they were concerned about was what that disconnect notice meant. But prior to those notices going out, I met with all of the customer service managers and the direct staff who actually take customer phone calls, and we reiterated, as Pete indicated earlier, that, you know, we want to work with our customers in this situation. We're going to be very flexible, and we would rather our customers either pay their balance in full if they can, and if not, let's put them on a payment agreement that we know that they can make and keep, because the importance is kind of helping them through this situation. So I can't give you specific numbers, at least for right now, but we've definitely seen an increase in that activity in terms of those customers calling us.
Okay. So from a perception standpoint, nothing in terms of an extreme on people being under the belief that they didn't have to pay their bill, that somehow it was going to be waived or picked up through some funding program?
I haven't heard that directly, but I know that there's been some indication because of some of the other activity around the country where I think other utilities have done something of that nature, but that's not something that we've implemented. So nobody has asked about that I'm aware of.
Okay. Okay. Well, if that should change in terms of if you start to experience a sea change, I think it would be helpful for the commission to know, just because we're keeping a very close eye on this as we see how the different utility companies are working with the customer base and making sure we're communicating effectively, or if we need to do something a little different in terms of messaging, that we can do that. And then the last question I have is, have there been any options in terms of the capital or opportunities in terms of capital markets related to getting a better rate, for example, on a note, that type of thing?
Chair Crosses, we're probably in a little different, have a little different view on that than Excel might. Our stock price is down about 25% from the end of February, just before the pandemic hit in full. And so that's, and we've got a little more higher risk profile than Excel does. So we're, our ability to refinance debt is probably a little more limited, being a little higher risk. I don't know, we haven't seen enough savings yet to go out and refinance. And it's also a bit like refinancing a mortgage. There are some provisions you have to pay off. I can't try to remember the term. I used to be in Georgia many years ago. We had forced mortgage bonds, and there was effectively a penalty if you paid off your debt early. So the numbers so far haven't worked for us. We are seeing some benefits in short-term debt borrowings. I will agree with that. But as far as other financings, you know, we're not issuing stock right now because the stock price is so low. So we're trying to keep our capital costs where they're at, and the short-term debt has maybe pushed us down just a little bit at this point.
Okay. Nope, fair enough. Thank you for that. And then this is just more of a point because I brought it up, I know, with NSP, but hopefully that, you know, as we move forward, that there are some efficiencies from a business model standpoint. What they may be and if they'll be material or not certainly remains to be seen, but I think it's something every organization should take a look at, because there are a lot of negatives, but maybe long term there are a few positives that can get pulled out of this as well. So
from a current commission or chair, from the a personal note, I feel like we're being more productive in some ways without a lot of the interruptions we used to have, but that's partially because everybody's kind of in the same boat working from home. I'm probably curious what happens as we phase in, if some of those efficiencies will still stay. I'm hoping to do. But we are looking at those things, and we have seen some opportunities in how how people can do their work. So I think we will be able to benefit from some of those efficiencies in the future.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Fedorchak?
Thanks, Pete. Appreciate the information. I'll just have you go through kind of the same question I asked Excel, and that is, how do you determine what's COVID-related and what isn't? And do you see a real distinction in the COVID cost causes that you anticipate coming back for, potentially coming back for recovery?
I think, you know, I mean, there are some that are really easy to identify, you know, the PPE things and some of the cleaning costs and some of our, you know, IT costs. Those are pretty simple to identify, you know, the plant costs, the cost of sequestering, things that we haven't had, you know, to incur before, are pretty clear. There are some things that get a little less certain, and we have to do more work on explaining and identifying those, and we'll have to have those explanations ready for when we file a request as to why those are COVID-related costs that are appropriate to recover. And maybe there may be some COVID costs that, even though they're COVID-related, may not be appropriate to recover too. So we have to review all from all aspects. As far as savings, it's, you know, there are some clear things that are going on, and we've, you know, some of the savings, we've done some management, like I said in the presentation, we've done some things to try and reduce expenses further, to manage the costs. So we'll have to do an entire review prior to submitting anything to the commission for recovery, and look at a, you know, as a whole, not just from one side of it. And I'm sure we've probably had a big savings in toilet paper at the office. That's become quite valuable now. So
maybe people, never know, people might have been coming to the office to get some.
we don't usually supply a soft of toilet paper as people use it.
Better than paper towel, though.
True.
Let's see here. Did you guys go out and do some additional refinancing or getting another line of credit or anything? Did you need to do that?
No, not specifically for this. We're, you know, we've got the construction project going right now, so we're using short term debt. You normally would initially for some of those projects. Maricourt's under construction, and so is Astoria. So right now we haven't had the, you know, we haven't gone quite to the market as much for financings, but we will in the near future.
Okay. And what is your, are most of your employees at home still? The percentage?
Yeah, we've got a lot. Yeah, we operate Big Stone and Coyote. And as far as employee count, I want to say there's about 50% are at home, because we all, you know, okay. we have a lot of field employees, you know, who are doing the work on the real work on the lines, and for the customers and the physically serving customers. So, you know, and we're still reading all of our meters except for the meters in the houses, which is, we still haven't restarted yet. I think we asked for an extension until September. Maybe Matt or Ron could answer that better than I can.
Yeah, Pete, I think this is Ron. I think you meant to say we're estimating those meters inside living quarters.
Yeah, correct. I'm sorry.
Okay. And how long do you anticipate having the, if you get the deferred accounting, how long do you anticipate
accruing things until you need to have some sort of some sort of rate recovery or
no.
It just feels like this thing could go on a while.
Yeah, at the time we made the filing, I was thinking it would be, you know, we'd be able to wrap it up by the end of the summer, but no, I doubt that. We may be looking through most of the year here. But you know, it's just everything. So there's so much unknown around it. We all like to know more than we can.
Okay, so indefinite still on that one. I think that concludes my questions. And somebody in my house has turned on Blender, so it's probably really loud. So I'm going to mute.
All right. Well, it's just a touch early for the Blender, but I'm not opposed to that. Commissioner Chrisman?
Get milkshake.
This whole Blender thing is sounding awful good, whether it's a milkshake or something else. I just want to say that. But most of my questions have been asked and answered. The only thing is, if you have it now, it'd be fine. I presume you don't. But along the way, I would like some statistics on the comparison between your delinquent residential numbers as opposed to the commercial numbers. And then on the residential also, you know, whatever the count is, what kind of percentage is that of your overall residential rate? Although we can figure that out, we have a number.
Yeah, our delinquents billings are about 80% residential. You know, our commercial accounts tend not to be delinquent. So it's the nature that you're running a business.
Is that 80% of the customer numbers or 80% of the total? Or
80% of the total. Those 80% of the total dollars.
Okay.
And our... And I have forgot the other question now. I was at my phone. Commissioner.
What percentage of your revenue is usually residential?
Total revenue is usually about 34% and 35% in North Dakota.
Wow. Thank you.
But as far as number of customers, I mean, the majority of our customers are residential customers, obviously.
Thank you. No other questions.
All right. Victor, any questions, comments?
No questions. I'll go through my same little spiel here I did in the last couple of cases. So I had have a set of data requests I got back from Ottertail. Again, I have no issues with any of the responses, but I was just like this added to the record and to ensure that we're tracking both the reduction in expenses as well as the increase in expenses caused by this. That's a much better picture than the slides we've been looking at so far. And then additionally with the revenue stuff, the revenue items, both the decreases in revenue items as well as the increases in revenue items, is to ensure we're capturing the full spectrum of this for future arguments to take place.
Who added that picture? Was that one of our employees?
I was closing I closed out the presentation on my...
Oh.
My two-year-old granddaughter, this picture is my screen.
That's cute. I thought maybe somebody infiltrated our meeting, and I thought, well, that was an innocent infiltration anyways.
Well, that was a very unfair exhibit, but likely effective. So, Brian, did you have anything?
No, I don't.
Okay. Anything else that the company would like to add?
No.
Okay. Well, thank you again for your time. the presentation, as well as the audio recording, the scanned document that Victor made reference to, and then the late filed exhibit request, will now be considered evidence upon which a decision will be made. Are there any objections to that becoming a part of the evidence? Company representative, any objection?
No.
Okay. Staff, any objection?
No objection from staff.
Okay. So we have no objections to that. Then the evidence, as mentioned, will now become a part of the official record upon which a decision will be made. Are there anything, any other matters that anyone would like to discuss at this time? Okay, seeing none, this informal hearing is now closed. Again, thank you so much for your time today and the information. Greatly appreciate it.